Coming up on TMS, diarrhea dog is the worst yoga move.
I don't like batteries.
The ones you lick that hurt.
Save a solathon.
When you're not here, your family we don't like anymore.
Borderline political Jesus.
The man at the recycling center lied.
Duncan Covfefe.
Swamp Water is my John Fogerty cover band name.
Germans, pretty cool since the war.
Collective Soul Asylum.
Your dog died? Prove it, you can't.
My chids are addicted to the Fortnite.
A pint of weed with Bill.
Discovering Frog Pantheon with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Here at his gravesite, loyal fans have turned out by the several to pay tribute to the legendary ham.
You disgust me.
The Morning Stream. Sometimes an insect will even mimic its predator.
Good morning and welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Tuesday, December 13th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Better than I was last night. The dog slept. We gave her kind of a 12-hour fast. The vet said to do that, so we did that.
Sure.
Good. And that seemed to help. She slept fine. We slept okay for the first time in about 3 days. But then overnight, like at 3 o'clock in the morning, found out my daughter, Taylor, their heating went out. So it's really cold right now. Oh,
no. And you're dealing with massive snow and everything now.
Yeah, right? And it's like really, really cold right now. And so they're coming over here today with the baby and van to just sort of chill. For lack of a better term.
Probably a better way to phrase that.
Meanwhile, there's some emergency HVAC guy over their house trying to figure out what happened. But anyway, that stuff's real fun. And, you know, you got diarrhea dog and you got that and it's all good. Speaking of diarrhea dog.
Yeah, diarrhea
Brian,
dog.
I have something very special for you today.
Ooh, all right. I can't wait. Excellent.
It's a reading, you guys. I'm doing a dramatic reading, kind of like if you paid to go see like a one-man show on stage or something.
Right. And, Kelsey Grammer's one-man Hamlet.
There you go. Like that. Exactly. Or like when Picard did that one-man Christmas Carol thing for all those years. Right. Patrick Stewart, not Picard. Anyway, think of it as like that.
Probably did on the holodeck, too. He probably did his own.
Oh, I guarantee it. While he wasn't a Robin Hood or whatever the hell that shit was. So anyway, I'm going to do this in a dramatic fashion. This is an email that I received, and I think the chat would really enjoy it. So and people at home. So here we go. I'm now getting into character.
You have music for this?
I do. And imagine the stage lights lower a little bit. The artsy fartsy theater holds about 300.
Sure.
Here's where it begins. Subject line: dogs with diarrhea crapping in your house. Jesus Christ. Body of the message: they don't fix themselves, you jackass. The vet can give a medication. Problem solved in a few hours. You act like the dog is the problem. You are the problem. Jesus Christ. So hard to listen to your podcast. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That was borderline political ad.
It was kind of.
That music and that reading, yeah.
What he doesn't want you to know is that he voted to eat children or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
That was an actual email. I'm not going to drag his name or anything, but what a weird thing to get, dude.
Yeah.
It's freaking weird.
So when you get the shit, Scott, do you immediately go to the doctor? Or you just say, this too shall pass?
No.
Maybe you change your diet for a little bit.
Sometimes it will pass. Now, if this has been going on for 4 days straight, yeah, you go, well, maybe there's something more. We need to escalate the problem and go, you know, whatever. But come on, give me a break. And she didn't go all over the house. She went in the kennel.
Right.
There's no all over the house. And if it's so hard to listen to the podcast, I don't know what to tell you. Anyway.
Well,
I was looking
forward
to that.
I'm just glad they found religion.
I am too. They really, I mean, honestly, truly have embraced their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christo, and I'm really proud of them. Yes. Let's move on to something cooler. So,
sure.
Here's another thing to just remind people at home that you should do. I'm going to play a listener's phone message. And I'm both late playing it, and they were both late on catching up a show. So there's a bit of a confluence there.
Okay.
It'll make sense when you hear it. So here you go.
Hey, Scott. This is James. I'm calling about the smoke alarm discussion on TMS. I don't know how many days I am late. I'm running behind on podcasts. Anyway, you know, it's a pain in the butt, right? But why not just replace the batteries in all of them when you start hearing chirps? That way, the next time you hear chirps, you know that they all need replaced again. And then you don't have to hunt them down. I know that, you know, you're not made of money and no one is, but batteries aren't that expensive, are they? Love the show. Bye.
So I'm trying to decide whether that whole batteries aren't that expensive, are they, is meant as a little bit of shade in my direction.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it is.
A little
like,
shady.
Batteries aren't that expensive, are they, Moneybags Johnson?
Mm-hmm. Just a little. And it's fine. He's right. It's just, this is the best solution. And now we are synced that way. We went and did everything at once.
Good. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
So if anything bleeps, it will be at the same time, or we'll know that that's the time to swap out batteries. So.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah. So if you know, if you change them all at the same time, then you know when the first one starts beeping, you know the others can't be far behind. So it's just do them all.
Sure. Yeah. And the other thing is, let's say I one of them beeps, but the others for whatever reason only used half the battery. Like, could I? I guess I don't know what else to use. What are those called? I forgot the name of those batteries.
The 9 volts.
9 volts. The ones you lick and hurt.
Yeah. God, why couldn't we? Could they not use another letter? Like, did they feel like they'd run out of letters when the 9 volt batteries came out and they just couldn't say, oh, we'll call this one an E battery. A J battery?
Yeah, I like that. Why not? Why didn't we do that? Because everything was A's and D's and triple A's and double A's.
Right,
and,
exactly.
I don't get it.
Oh, man, we are out of letters. I guess we have to call this one a 9 volt.
9 volt. Don't lick it.
That's right. $12 for an 8-pack of. Amazon Basics 9-volt batteries.
Rechargeables or just throwaways?
Just throwaways.
Okay.
I haven't seen... I'm sure they have rechargeables. Oh, yeah, there they do. By Tenergy. But I haven't seen, like, a Eneloop rechargeable.
Right, and they're the only good brand as far as I'm concerned.
They are, yeah. The problem is, they're such a dumb shape that you have to use a completely different charger to charge those, unlike the A's and the triple or double A's and triple A's.
That's true.
We go through, like, candy for our... with our Eneloops.
It just seems like when you and I were kids, 9 volts were all over the place and used for tons of things.
Yeah. You know what? Because it was a lot of our toys.
Yeah, that's what it was.
9-volt batteries. It was like, oh, my Millennium Falcon doesn't go anymore because...
Yeah.
Time to change the 9-volt.
Yeah, exactly. So these days, kids, everything's... You don't even know what you have. They're a bunch of rechargeable everythings now, kids.
Yeah.
You don't know what it was like to be us.
All of a sudden, when our Simon stopped working, we had to wait until our parents were going to the store and they could buy another battery for it.
Yep. And the other problem with the 9 volts were it wasn't as simple as just sticking it in something the way that triple A's or double A's were.
Yeah.
You had the little dangly dongle that you had to snap on top and it had to match the two pieces because they were different. Like, I don't know who designed that, but they were just trying
positive and negative terminal. They had to snap on there. And every once in a while, those little red and black wires, one of them would break and you'd be kind of screwed until your uncle with a soldering iron came over.
And it's a device that people would test to see if it still had a charge by putting their tongue to it.
Like I never did that to test if it still had a charge.
Oh, my dad did it all the time. He's like, is that a good battery? I don't know. Well, taste it. I'm like, Dad, I'm not doing that. And he'd go, come here, give me that. And he'd go,
If it didn't power my Simon, then I knew that it was dead. Then I knew that was the...
Coleco Vision football thing didn't work.
So Cap Kipper did a little research, went to Wikipedia, and turns out that the 9-volt battery is... known as the E battery.
Oh, what?
It's an E battery.
Why don't we call it that?
I don't know.
It just never stuck, maybe, or something.
Just never stuck.
Well, in the era of E everything, it's probably harder to call it that now because everything's like
E-trade,
right. Oh,
you have an E battery? What is that? An electronic version of a battery?
Yeah.
But do they, I mean, I assume that those are still, so the other thing was back in the day, they always told us you wanted to make sure you didn't just throw them in the trash, that you took them to a battery
recycler
thing. Yeah, is that exactly. Still, I assume that's still true, you know, alkaline.
I guess it is, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, I use mostly rechargeables in the house, but if every once in a while we get a new, like a new TV comes with a remote control, and in the box are, you know, plastic wrapped triplet of some weird named, you know, lowest level of the ladder battery company.
Yeah.
And you put those in there, they last a good 3 months, and then you replace them with rechargeable batteries.
Yeah.
And I throw those away. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. I do that with remotes because I don't. My Eneloops all go in controllers and cool things.
Oh, use the crap batteries and remotes?
Yeah. Just because, you know, I don't know. I don't, because they seem to live forever. And then when they do finally die, it's like, I don't know. It just feels like, why would I put a rechargeable in there? It just sits there for an eternity. Rechargeables need to be more frequent, I think. You know?
Electronics. Now, big electronics I take. We have a recycling place that takes electronics. We have to pay them.
But, right.
You know, like this iPad 1 that you can't really, you know, it doesn't hold a charge anymore. You've got to use it plugged in. Like, oh, okay, I'll take that to the recycling place.
They should pay you because they're gonna make money on that trash. You should get paid.
Exactly. Do they make money on that? Like, if I take an old monitor,
they sell them as parts. I think they melt that down. They melt down like aluminum, all that. Oh, sure. I think. And I took we did a similar thing where I took like 4 old PCs, just junkers, to this place, and they didn't charge us, but they also we don't get anything out of it. But I asked them. I said, hey, what happens to this stuff? He says, well, sometimes we try to refurb machines that look like they might work, and then we'll donate them to like a library or a school. And then sometimes we can't do that, so we'll just melt it down and break them out into their components.
Into their individual parts and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Monitors, though, we have one of those rage rooms nearby. So when I was doing all those, all that equipment.
Rage room. Oh, rage room, like the Vegas thing. I know what you're talking about. Okay, yeah.
Keep going. Yeah, you go in there with a sledgehammer and smash fax machines and lamps and stuff like that.
So cool.
They take monitors, and when I had a bunch of monitors that didn't work that came from the company, the gig that I was doing for refurbishing computers and monitors and equipment, still working that job, by the way.
Yeah.
We would take the monitors there, and they'd be like, oh my God, thank you, this is great. And I'm just visualizing. I'm sure that when they beat the crap out of this, they're not saying, okay, now let's separate all the things that are recyclable and we're going to take these to the recycling place. I'm sure that they just put it all into a dumpster and haul it to the dump.
I think you're right. There's someone in the chat says that recycling is a lie. I mean,
there was a great John Oliver expose on recycling, and it's not as cut and dry as they make it sound. Like 60% of the stuff that people put in recycling that they think is recyclable and does have the little recycle symbol doesn't actually get recycled because there are only a few facilities that can do specific kinds of plastic recycling.
Right. And during the last administration, we shut down exporting certain kinds of trash to China for recycling.
Yeah,
we don't even know what really happens to it over there. But to us, it looked like, oh, look, they're taking this stuff. And now I'm being told all the time, don't put that in there. We can't do that anymore. Don't put that in there. So, yeah, as usual, and Brian said it, as usual, it's complicated.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
Recycling colon. It's complicated.
Yeah. Recycling your colon is complicated. Just ask Ripley, the poopy dog. Anyway. We got a text here I want to read. This is one that came in for Brian specifically. It says, from another soul. this is from, let's see, Yours in Trash, Sven from baseball camp. He says, as a fellow Kia Soul owner, I can't help but sympathize with Brian's recent saga of mechanical misfortune. I myself have had to pour. Oh, thank you, dear. Sorry, my wife brought me a thing. Thank you. Let's see. I myself have had to pour a metric oodle of money. Noodles. What? Of money noodles.
You got to say it together. A metric oodle of money noodles.
A metric oodle of money noodles.
Alliterative.
There it is. I like that. Into various repairs just to keep the beast running. That said, it got me to thinking, you know, what would be cool? What if the Tadpool had an old school telethon to raise money for Brian's soul? Only it would be for this. It would be for the Save Brian Soul-a-thon. Even better, it would feature songs from soul music groups, songs with the word soul in it, guest appearances from noteworthy citizens of Seoul, Korea, and special guest performance by Collective Soul to finish it all off. At the very least, it would make a fun episode of Coverville. Soulmates assemble. Yours in trash, well, Sven.
I'd rather have Soul Asylum. Can I get both Collective Soul and Soul Asylum?
You could. Yeah. Yeah. Why not? I think that's good. What other bands have soul in it?
Let's see. Soul Coughing.
Soul Coughing. That's a good pull there.
What's his face? With the guy who went solo, and he's even better solo than he was with Soul Coughing.
Soul Low.
Soul Low. Yeah.
Who else? Soul. That's all I know.
Oh, L'Uncle Del Sol.
Oh, all right.
He's the guy who did that really cool cover of 99 Problems. A really cool. Oh yeah, De La Soul.
De La Soul.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike Doughty. That's what I'm thinking of Identity for. He is great as a solo performer, man. He is great. Soul Coughing was terrific, but man, I love Mike Doughty or Doughty. I'm sure how it's pronounced.
I'd never heard of him.
Oh, yeah, Soul to Soul.
Yeah, Soul to Soul is another good one.
Back to life. Back to reality.
That's what they're going to say when your car's done. Speaking of which, is there any update on that? How's that going?
I called yesterday and left a message, and I have not heard back. Just a quick message to say, hey, has the part shown up? As of Sunday, they've had the car for exactly 1 month.
That's a long time.
Showing no signs of me getting it before Christmas.
That's 1/12 of a year, man, that they've had your car. Yeah. That's
totally.
A lot.
Oh, gosh, when you think of it like that.
That's a lot. Think about it. If somebody was in a coma for a month, we'd all be gasping. Like, oh my gosh.
I do like how you think of time as what if somebody experienced the same amount of time that we're talking about? That would be the same amount of time.
Yeah, what if they spent 30 days doing a thing? What then?
It'd be great if I was in a coma for 30 days, because then I wouldn't have been without my car. I wouldn't have realized I was without my car. So
right. This is this is the worst remake of Dude, Where's My Car we've ever had.
It really is. Yeah. It totally is. Dude, Where's My Soul?
Quick quick final text here from someone named Some Guy. Just Some Guy. Maybe just random. I'm not sure. Anyway, he's talking about Dunkin', because we were talking about Dunkin' yesterday and how they changed it from Dunkin' to Dunkin', or from Dunkin' Donuts to Dunkin'. He says Dunkin' axed the donuts to compete with Starbucks on coffee. So they wanted to focus on the thinking here is they want to focus on the coffee delivery and the coffee. Hey, we're a coffee shop. We're here for your morning addiction, and less these big round gooey donuts that people don't care about as much as the coffee.
That's smart. Yeah, I mean, basically, if you think about it, it's like, oh, you go to Dunkin' for donuts and then you go to Starbucks for coffee. They just want people to think of both the coffee and the donuts from the same place.
Yeah,
and Nicole Spagnuolo was like the biggest, you know, perpetuator of the great coffee at Dunkin' Donuts when she was back when she was here in Colorado and doing recommendals. She'd always talk about, or not always, but very early on, talked a lot about the Dunkin' coffee and saying that's really good.
Where do you stand on Dunkin'?
I think I've only, well, I used to love their donuts back when I was a little kid, and they had a store in Arvada that was 2 blocks away from my house, and it was on my way to and from school, so I could stop there on the way and get a donut as I walked to school.
Nice.
And they made the donuts in-house. That fat guy got up and he turned the light on in his on his nightstand, and he said, "It's time to make the donuts," and he, you know, shuffled into the bathroom and shuffled back and forth in the dark and at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then he went to work and made the donuts. Now I don't think they make the donuts there at all anymore. And so I don't go there at all. I'd much rather go. If I'm going to get a donut, my go-to is, I think, Lamar's.
Mm. Lamar's Donuts.
Lamar's Donuts. I don't know if it's a local chain. I don't know if it's a national chain, but they're like 5 or 6 here in Colorado. And their donuts are just so fantastic.
Yeah. No doubt. So have you had their coffee though at the Dunkin'?
I have only had like some, you know, sugar free hazelnut, you know,
fruity, flappy
sweet drink that didn't grab me. I think it was something that Nicole said was really good, and I tried them, like, oh, that's a little too sweet for me, even though It was sugar-free. So
see, we don't always, our recommendals don't always line up, see? Sometimes we don't like what each other brings to the show, see?
No, it's true. Sometimes our recommendals fall flat. But that's not the case for me, Scott.
No.
I'm going to tell you right now, Tina and I started watching a thing that you recommended back in August, August 24th, if I'm going to be specific.
Ooh, B, please.
You recommended a program, a series called The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow.
Love it.
And we're four episodes in. Oh, it's so damn
good. Isn't it great? It's so good.
Really, really good. Yeah.
You know what else is great is Amy Brennerman is great. She's good.
She's great in it. And what's her face from Arrested Development?
Oh, she's mind-blowingly good.
Yeah, she's really good.
I feel like everything I've seen since, and I haven't seen Search Party, so I feel like I missed out on other good stuff she's done. But for me, she was always the person on Arrested Development. And when she came back for the newer ones, I was like, oh, she's kind of, I don't know, she's fine, whatever. And I just thought, well, we'd never see her again. No, dude, she's good.
Alia Shawkat. Yeah. Shawkat.
Her name couldn't be harder to say, but yeah.
Well, it could if she had three names and then you'd completely like flare around like Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah.
She's great in it. And we're hooked.
That twerp who works for... He's CIA, but he's over in the FBI. Yes. Freaking that guy! I just want to rub him out.
And the actors that they got to play young versions of Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow, especially the John Lithgow actor.
Oh yeah,
has his speech nailed.
Like, oh yeah, it's one of those where you worry that it's an impression, but it's better than that. It's like
it doesn't feel like he's faking a voice. It just feels like that guy has that voice.
Yeah, if someone said, "Oh, that's his son," I'd believe you because it's just
we're outlawing dancing in this town, and you're going to comply.
That's pretty good.
That's not. It was horrible. I've never tried to do a John Lithgow impersonation. I need to. That is one I feel like I could do though.
You got most of the way there just now. It's just a little tweaking and you got it.
A little workshopping and I might have it.
Because
there's a lot of demand for a John Lithgow impersonation.
Oh yeah, no, that's a huge. Yeah. Well, it's like what's his name always says, Bill Hader. He likes. I think we talked about this before. His best impressions, the ones he likes to do the most, are ones that nobody thinks about. Like he's still doing Vincent Hawkeye Price. From MASH or Vincent Price or these character actors or things that were popular in the 60s and 70s and no one cares about now.
That's a good point. Yeah, anybody can do a Trump, especially freaking Jamie Foxx. Who knew, right?
Oh, that blew my mind. I couldn't believe that.
Who's out there trying to pull a Vincent Price or an Alan Alda or things like that?
Right. I respect it. I think it's great, but it's a dying art. All right. Well, that's all well and good.
Yeah.
Guess what we have? We have this. It's time for the news. And it's brought to you by...
Where there's Diablo, there's the Diablo Show! That's right, as Diablo 4 approaches, the Diablo Show is back on the air and available now on all podcast platforms and at frogpants.com/Diablo.
Yeah, let's just play a little.
Wow, it's back, huh?
Yeah, I decided... I've been mulling it around for a while, but I miss doing... That it's a solo show and I get to be a little bit different on there and I kind of like doing that. And up till now it was always people always like, oh, did you stop because of the Blizzard stuff? Not really. I stopped it because
there was not a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it was like Diablo 3 is sort of had gotten into a loop of the same stuff. They weren't adding anything to it and they had announcements of other things. The last episode I did was in 2019, right after the announcement of BlizzCon, but then there's just been, kind of dead air since then. But things are ramping up. I'm hearing some insane things internally and externally about the game that make me think it's got legs. So I'm going to do an eight episode season to start it back up and see how it goes. Yeah. And
always a good thing to say, instead of saying this will go on forever. Start with a season. Say I can end it this at the end of the season if I like, or or keep it going.
There's a reason TV does that. It's a reason they don't just go episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They make seasons for a reason.
Perpetuity. Unless you're a news show or a talk show.
Sure. Like us, TMS is not the kind of show you do in seasons, right? It's not doesn't really work that way.
Right, exactly.
But anyway, we're going to give that a shot. And if you're interested, when there will definitely be talk about that battle pass chat. In fact, that's probably the very next episode. Going to release it on Mondays. So,
and maybe we already talked about this. Maybe I asked about it, but whatever happened with the that mobile thing that they announced?
The Immortal, the game?
Yeah, Diablo. Oh, it did come out. That's right.
It's still a thing. It came out this year. It was up for. It sadly got booed at the. At the Game Awards a couple of days ago when they announced
it.
Yeah. Because it was up for Mobile Game of the Year and probably would have won had Snap not come out this year. So.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow.
I think Snap usurped it.
Yeah.
I think deservedly. But Immortal is making them money hand over fist, but it's controversial as hell. So.
Yeah.
There'll be some talk about that. The show will probably lean into more four issues. Like four's got its own big questions around it right now. There's a bunch of weird issues about like which version do you buy now and what does that give you? And it's a little bit squampus. There's a big freak out about how the collector's edition has no game code in it of all of any, no game. There's no game with it. It's just a collector's edition, but it's not called that. So it's like a paradigm shift. Think of it this way, Brian, like, it used to be when you get a collector's edition of, say, a WoW expansion, that meant the DVDs would be in there, plus art book, plus all the other stuff.
So
what this is, instead of this being a collector's edition that costs you $150 that includes the game in a code form or something, which they had a lot of problems with fraud with those, people reselling codes and stuff like that. So what they're doing instead is that basically they're giving you a... like think of it as a Diablo swag box or loot crate.
Okay, gotcha. So you buy it on top of
the game. Or in addition to, or not at all. Like you could buy just the swag stuff and never even buy the game.
Never buy the game.
It'd be weird, but that way, so the box is only $99 instead of $150. And the thinking is that well, now you have the ability to get the standard edition of the game digitally just by doing it. There'll still be boxed copies with discs in them for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series S and X. That's still a thing. Well, not S because S doesn't have an optical drive, but you know what I mean. That'll still be a thing. But from a retail perspective, at least on the PC side, no one's doing discs anymore.
Sure.
And I don't blame them. I think it's actually an okay thing. It's just shifting the paradigm for people. So there's a lot of outrage about it. I'm like, well, A, I don't know why you're outraged because you're not paying for the game. You're paying for a loot box with a bunch of Diablo stuff in it. I think people just don't like change, and it's weird for them. But anyway, we'll talk about issues like that.
Yeah, but it also feels like that's kind of the easiest, like the best way to do it, right? You know, collector's edition. Don't have to buy it, and you can buy it on top of everything else and get your additional. That's weird.
So that kind of dumb stuff will get talked about, but also dive deep on lore and who's that. Like people in that latest trailer, they think that's Tyrael up there. It's not. It's not him. Who is it?
Yeah.
Ooh, tune in Monday to find out all about who that guy is.
I'll be waiting with bated breath.
Bated breath.
Bated breath.
Let's move to this story here about Germans.
The Germans?
They're pretty cool since the war, you know? We like them, don't we?
Yeah, we're
it all worked out okay. It was like that time. There's a great line from Norm Macdonald. He's the only one that can do it justice, but he'll say, you know, I've been reading about that Hitler. Yeah, the more I read about that guy, the less I think I care for him. It's like, I don't know why, but nobody can do that kind of thing like he did.
Yeah, no, it's true.
I can't think of another comedian that can pull that off.
I mean, I'm trying to imagine if Kanye could pull that off.
Doubt it. Hey, I ain't saying she's a gold digger. Anyway, moving on. German police are seeking help in solving bull sperm heist.
Oh no.
Yeah, this is
doesn't feel like it feels like you got like you gotta have like almost people's court music with this thing.
I got some.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of bull sperm was stolen.
Meet the defendant.
He is very
Ferdinand the bull.
Ferdinand the bull. I like that name for a bull. It's pretty good. Anyway, police in Western Germany are.
I came up with it.
Oh, yeah, well,
go ahead.
Police in Western Germany are appealing for help in the cracking a potentially very odd, very cold case. Authorities say about 60 containers of bull sperm. These are worth a lot of money, by the way.
Yeah.
Were stolen from a farm in the town of Offlin, 90 kilometers or 56 miles northwest or east, rather, of Cologne. It's where they have the games Gamescom every year. Late Monday or early Tuesday, police said in a statement Wednesday that while it's unclear how the rustle happened, R-U-S-T-L-E.
Yeah, the Russell.
The precious cargo needs to be super cooled with liquid nitrogen at 196 Celsius so it isn't spoiled. That's about 320 degrees Fahrenheit. Negative 320 Fahrenheit.
Yeah, yeah.
They are seeking tips from the public that might lead to the recovery of the sperm, which was intended for artificial insemination. The reason someone heisted it is because it is very, very valuable. And people just kind of go, oh, whatever, sperm.
Yeah, no,
it's like gold.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, this is like, you know, you put this into your prize cow and you get you end up with super offspring or something.
Yeah. Like, you're getting some super big super calves. Yeah. And then those go on to make even better sperm. I don't know how it works.
I don't either. I don't know. I just know that it's desirable for farmers.
They don't say how much is worth here, but I'm going to guess that's about 50, let's see, 60 containers, whatever containers are. So it's probably, this is probably $1 million, $2 million heist. Mm-hmm. I'm picturing like an Ocean's 11 style.
Right. No, yeah, exactly. Like they've got, you know, subterfuge going and one guy distracting them, and they pause every time they introduce a new character to show you what they're. He's the bag man. Mm-hmm. He's the plant. He's the expert. You know, like
yep. And you don't want to be the little Asian guy that has to hide inside the bull sperm container.
The safe. Oh yeah.
Yeah, right. That poor dude. I just watched a really good Futurama where they basically Ocean 11 the heist, and
oh really?
It's okay. Great. Oh my gosh, dude! I forgot how good. Technically, the previous final season with its own finale was 11 or 10.
Yeah.
10. Oh, yeah, that's right. 10, because 11's coming. And they end it so beautifully and so it's a heartfelt, wonderful, funny, but just a great way to end that show. But they leave this little crack of light for getting out of it. And you didn't notice it when you watched it before because you thought that was it. That's all they're ever going to do. But there's this crack of there's a chance that all these characters come back.
Renewed. Yeah.
And I'm so stoked. Oh, I love that show so much. All right, moving on. Here's a phrase you won't hear very often. If your dog died, prove it.
Prove it, you can't.
This is what Olive Garden manager told a bunch of people who get time off at Olive Garden. It was a leaked memo, so we're going to share it here. Okay. Johnson County restaurant manager sent a harsh message to employees after taking time off and was subsequently fired. An Olive Garden media relations representative confirmed this. This happened where, let's see, this is the message to staffers that was sent out. Our call offs are occurring at a staggering rate. I should do this with that music. Yeah. From now on, if you call off, that's a weird way of saying it.
I've never heard the term call off. Like if you call out or call out sick or something like that.
Call
in sick. Oh, he called in sick. Yeah, that's the way you say it.
Call off. That's how I'd say it. Unless your name is Colin, then you call in sick. Anyway.
Colin's calling off.
Oh, shit. Well, anyway, it says this is happening at a staggering rate. If you call off, you might be you might as well go out and look for another job. We are no longer tolerating any excuse for calling off. Boy, when you're here, you're certainly not family.
No kidding.
If you're sick, you need to come prove it to us. If your dog died, you need to bring him in and prove it. If it's a family emergency, you can't and you can't stay or say too bad.
Wow.
Go work somewhere else. It says, if you want the morning, if you only want morning shifts, too bad, go to work at a bank. If anyone from here on out calls out more than once.
Let me help you. If anyone from here on out
here
calls
on out
more than once.
Didn't look right the whole time.
When you're here, you don't use punctuation is the problem.
More than once in the next 30 days, you will not have a job. Do you know why my 11.5 years at Darden? Okay. I don't know what Darden is. Anyway.
Whatever place he used to work.
Yeah. How many days I called off? Zero. I came in sick. Well, we don't want that.
No, exactly. Great. I made my whole office sick, but by golly, I showed up to work.
Lame.
Oh, Darden is the parent company.
Okay. He says, I came to work on time. There's no more excuses. Us, collectively as a management team, had enough.
You skipped a whole great line, by the way. I got in a wreck literally on my way to work one time. Airbags went off and my car was totaled. But you know what? I made it to work on time.
Oh, my gosh. I did miss that. That's a... That guy went hard.
It's Dwight Schrute. Is what this guy is.
Says, if you don't want to work here, don't. It's as simple as that. If you're here and you want to work, then work! No more complaining and not being cut. Or sorry, no more complaining about not being cut or not being able to leave early. You're in a restaurant business. Do you think I want to be here until midnight on Friday and Saturday? No! I'd much rather be home with my husband and dog, going to the movies, or seeing family. But I don't. I'm dedicated to being here, as should you. No more excuses or complaints. I hope you choose to continue to work here, and I think we management make it as easy as we can on y'all. Thank you for your time, and thank you for those who come in every day on time and work hard. I wish there were more like you. Anyway.
And they were fired.
And they were fired.
I mean, I love that.
The thing is, look, if your employees are taking advantage of your good graces,
you
put your foot down. I get it. I actually don't. I don't disagree with like the reasons for this at all.
I don't either. I feel like, but there's definitely a better way to handle it.
Yeah. There's a better way to say words.
Yeah, exactly.
I assume it's a lady, but it could be a dude married to a dude. I don't know.
Sure, sure.
So who am I to say? How am I to know? All right. Here's a good one. I don't know why this stuff happens. I feel like this happened a lot in the 90s, but it's happening again. Parents have filed a lawsuit saying their kids are addicted to Fortnite. what that tells me is you don't know how to parent. But anyway.
Right, exactly.
A lawsuit has been filed in Canada. Oh, hold on. It's not U.S., everybody. Also this.
Canada!
And these are parents who say their kids are addicted to the video game Fortnite.
It's your kids, Marty.
The Canadian Supreme Court judge authorized the filing of Quebec parents against Fortnite's manufacturer, Epic Games. And Epic has a huge office up in Montreal, so they can directly sue them. Anyway, parents say their kids are so addicted that they don't take care of regular everyday hygiene, such as showering. Oof. Again, you're a shit parent. Sorry. You just are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You let it get out of hand. It ain't
exactly. I don't know. Maybe say, hey, we're going to limit your time on that device that you're playing Fortnite on.
And, yeah.
You know, you'll have a few hours a day, but you got to make sure you get all these other things done, like showering.
Yeah, and we're not saying it's easy. We know kids can be hard. We know those moments happen, but it's still on you. I hate to say it. The game doesn't render you freaking useless.
Right.
Let's see. Some kids are so dependent on Fortnite, they say they've stopped eating and sleeping. Quote, the court concludes that there is a serious issue to be argued, supported by sufficient and specific allegations as to the existence of risks or even dangers arising from the use of Fortnite. I think this judge has no idea how video games work. The use of Fortnite. It's not a drug.
Like, these kids are using Fortnite in dark alleys and back ways.
You make it sound like fentanyl in a bag. It's not that. It's a game. You have control.
These kids are ghost peeking and goading on the sticks clutching and and box battling and
all those things. An attorney from the firm that brought the suit equated the game maker Epic Games to a tobacco manufacturer. And said the legal responsibility is basically the same. Be prepared to argue that in court thing. It's not the same.
Yeah. Same thing in like with StarCraft in the 90s or early 2000s. I guess it was early 2000s.
Any of it. Like when they did the hearings about Mortal Kombat or freaking the stupid Sega CD game. What was it called? Night Trap. Like, get over yourselves.
I remember when we were kids and we had Pac-Man fever and we couldn't do anything about it and didn't sue anybody.
Nope. Nope. I just kept putting quarters in it. I had no control. Lucier echoed the comparison of video games to tobacco addictions. It says the harmful effect of tobacco was not even recognized or admitted overnight, he ruled. Oh, come on. Canada, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We've been through this.
Our resident Scientologist says these parents might be neglecting their duties, but let's not pretend that Fortnite isn't a bit predatory.
Oh, I know it is. but it's predatory in a way that parents have full control over. They control everything from, because when you say predatory, what you're talking about is monetarily predatory.
Yeah.
The game is like, hey, do you want these cool skins showing the Mandalorian? You want to be the Mandalorian?
Pay a little, exactly. You want some Marvel characters in here? Pay to win or pay to play. Yeah.
But if your parents, it's still down to the parents. Still, you can say that stuff's tempting to kids. I get it. It's tempting to me.
Yeah.
But you got to have some, you got to step in and be a mom, be a dad.
I know when to stop snapping.
Yeah, Brian knows. And he's not a kid, and I understand. Like, if Brian was a little kid and all he did was play Snap, his mom and dad should probably step in.
Totally. Yep.
It's simple as that. We did the same shit back then. I spent too much time on a 2600 or an NES. My mom would step in.
Oh, yeah.
Put that light gun down. Hogan and his alley will wait another day, she'd say. That Mario, she'd say. Mario.
And stop climbing that ice for a little while, Brian.
Yeah, no more ice climbing. Exactly. Mario will save the princess in a different castle another day.
That's right.
Mario.
Mario.
She'd say Mario, which I think Canadians say as well. They say Mario.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Bo does. And he's from Canada, and he cannot say Mario. Anything but Mario.
Really?
Yeah. Even though the game itself, Mario in the games, everybody who talks about the games.
He says, it's a me Mario. How can you argue with that?
He never says, the Canadian version of the game does not say, it's a me Mario. It doesn't, it definitely doesn't. So Brian is right. We know how to say it because Mario says it.
Yeah. It's not like we had to wait until Charlize Theron said, here's how you pronounce my name. We know right from Nintendo or Mario 64 when he said, it's a me Mario. Yeah. We knew right then.
That's right. And that was all we needed. What else did
we
need?
All we needed.
You know what? You are right. That was the moment because that's when voice was lended to the character for the first time.
Yeah.
So exactly. We finally had the answer in 1996. 90 effing six. It's not like we had to wait another 20 years. We know this. Mario.
Jeez.
I don't think Bo's listening today, but if he is, it'll be fun to talk to him after. Final story.
Yeah.
They should throw that out. It's dumb. I just wanted my final note on the stupid lawsuit. It's dumb.
Oh, the right.
And I don't even like Fortnite that much. I don't like Epic that much. I think they're a little weaselly, but it's a bad precedent. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Go. You know what? If you're going to go after stuff, go after the moms who can't put Candy Crush down and have spent $4,000.
Right. Exactly.
You know, like the adults that can't control themselves.
Yeah.
Anyway. Here's another dog story to end the news segment of the day. A dog accidentally pulled a fire alarm at an Iowa doggy day camp.
Ooh.
Caused all kinds of mayhem.
That's where Daisy's going to be going there in a few days to a doggy day camp.
Oh no. Is it like this isn't like hospice
it's
for the dog.
It's actually technically not. She's getting kenneled. Well, she's technically getting not kenneled, but boarded, with somebody who can cater to her specific needs.
We can't, it is like hospice, kind of.
It kind of is. Well, it's just like, it's just while we're out of town, we just don't want somebody to have to deal with the
while you're gone. Okay.
While, yeah.
Exactly. I thought you were committing her until the end. That's what I was thinking.
No. This is, with her cognitive issues and stuff like that, we don't want somebody to have to come over because they pretty much have to be here. And we've got somebody who's going to be house sitting, but they're not going to be here 24/7. And
what if you get an email that says
play the music,
it goes, and they say, they go, whoops, Brian, you jackass,
Jesus Christ,
I can't believe you. Yeah, maybe we'll hear from him. I doubt it though.
Go to the vet, they give you a medicine that cures cognitive doggy disorder. Jesus Christ, they're not going to fix themselves.
Your heart, this show is so hard to listen to. Anyway, this dog, maybe the dog behaved like a kid. Anyway, accidentally pulled this fire alarm. Firefighters in Iowa were summoned to a doggy day camp, arrived to find the fire alarm had accidentally been pulled by the canine camper. Dogwoods Lodge in Grimes. That's Elon Musk's squeeze, right?
That's right.
Hubba exactly. Hubba, yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't have nice things to say about him.
No. I mean, can you imagine? If we know his quote unquote public persona, it can't be better in private.
So here's what's weird. Yeah. I try to stay out of these things now because they're ridiculous, stupid, and unwinnable in a conversation.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He went on stage at that Dave Chappelle show for some reason. Chappelle has him out there. He gets up. They booed for 10 minutes until he left. And he yelled things like, I'm rich, bitch, and all kinds of weird, really cringy stuff. Yeah. There's video out there of it. And that crowd booed and booed and booed until Elon got off the stage. And then Chappelle was like chiding the audience for booing and giving him a hard time. And all I could think of was like, hold on, this flies in the face of everybody's narrative. The narrative is that Chappelle is like super transphobic and says a lot of transphobic jokes and all this stuff. And he's upset a lot of people. So in theory, the people that go to Chappelle shows now are ones that are like, yeah, screw the thing. Free speech, Chappelle. And they should love Elon Musk in their minds. But they don't.
They don't.
Because he's showing himself as like really just unlikable. Forget about the political everything. Forget about all of it. He seems really annoying and unlikable as a human being.
Has zero to do with his what he's done with Twitter, that sort of thing. The dude just comes across as unlikable.
So what happened to me was the scene in Django. This is terrible, maybe. No. Okay. I don't want to be terrible, but this might be terrible. If it is, I'll take my beatings. It's fine.
Okay.
But DiCaprio's character is dying or dead, if I remember it right.
Django Unchained, yes.
Django Unchained. And the character played by Samuel L. Jackson, the kind of head of the house, but you know, his head slave, because it's all set in the 1800s.
Right.
Is just holding him and mourning his death, right? Which seemed, the whole point of that was to seem like so shocking and unusual, because why would this black man in this situation want to protect this plantation, horrible plantation owner that treats his property, quote unquote, like garbage? But there he is doing it. And there was this moment in that stage thing where it felt like Chappelle was doing this with Elon. It's hard for me to explain. It just made me really uncomfortable, and I hated it. So, end of the story. The sum up here is, I would have booed as well, because why is he on stage at a comedy event?
Exactly.
Why are you here? Go do something else. He's already getting bored with the Twitter thing. He'll go get bored with something. Go get bored with something else. You're bored with Tesla. Yeah. Your stock sucks right now. You obviously don't care.
Maybe focus on your space stuff. Maybe focus on that.
He's just bored.
Yeah.
No, anyway.
It's completely irrelevant to have him up on stage for a Dave Chappelle show.
Yeah, that's dumb. Okay, moving on. Actually, that's it. That's the story.
That's it. We're moving on.
The dog pulled the thing and everybody freaked out.
Pulled at the, pulled the fire alarm.
There is a Dogwood Lodge posted a photo of Facebook showing the canine wearing a sign reading, Dear Grimes Fire Department, I am sorry I pulled that fire alarm today. Sincerely, Birdie. That's cool.
Well, now I've got to go look at the photo. Oh my gosh, who's the best dog ever? Look at this cute puppy dog.
Oh, look, hold on. I'm going to pull it up, chat. So
he looks so, he looks so sweet.
Where is it? Oh, it's not coming. Oh, there it is. Oh, look.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's fine.
Who's the goodest boy ever? Did they clip that to his fur? It almost looks like they clipped it to his fur.
Oh, there's video of him doing it. Bling, 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 bling. You can see it.
Oh, pulling the alarm?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He jumps up. I imagine,
they've probably got all that. Yeah.
Oh, this looks like fun. I'd go do this. Oh, dogs are great until they poo at 3 a.m. All right. Well, that's your news. We're going to take a break. When we return, the fun really begins, because Bill will be here. We got a little something from a listener for him. We also got a little science with Bobby after that. Stick around for all of it after this song, Brian Brott. What do you got?
Yeah. Well, here's a band that you've probably heard of, and Clarion Call was nice enough to send me this one. The band's called We Were Promised Jetpacks. They have a new EP called A Complete 180. Just came out last week and features additional remixes of their songs by Manchester Orchestra, Andy Monahan, and Zoe Graham. This is Scottish rock band We Were Promised Jetpacks from their new EP. Here is the song, If It Happens.
Ooh, very nice. Well, I hope it happens. Here's the song. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
If it doesn't, then it doesn't. Could you question why I fall in such a stupid sport? And I'm not gonna kick up a fuss about it. Somewhere to sit and paint a bigger picture. Somewhere to rest my head and face the music. And all I wanna do is get high and enjoy that view. Now I'm here. And all I want to do is get high and enjoy that view. There's always another rung on the ladder. Let's hang on a minute and stay where we are.
This is Larry Bird calling. Listen, my agent sent me that cartoon script, and I've decided I don't want to be involved in any way.
These babies are the jewels of the Bean Kingdom.
The Morning Stream. This is what I love about my job. I get to travel, see the world, meet new cultures. I mean, it's all bacterial, but hey, what the bleep?
I love that. Welcome back. Hey, Brian, tell me who that was again, please.
That was We Were Promised Jetpacks from their brand new EP called A Complete 180. That was the song If It Happens.
We were
and
promised.
It did happen.
We were promised jetpacks.
We were promised flying cars. Mm-hmm. We were promised jetpacks, yep. And so far, none of it.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen people on, you know, like those ones with the big arm things and they float out into the ocean, but there's always a big pipe attached to them.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're getting there.
I mean, pipe is it's basically a water pack because it's basically firing a bunch of water, isn't
right,
it?
Right. Because I don't think there's, well, I mean, you could do rocket fuel, I guess.
It's like you're attached to a fire hose.
Yeah. I would do that. Yeah. I would do that for a day if someone let me.
Oh, I would totally do that. Yeah.
Maybe Bill can make one.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Hey, Bill Duran, you want to build a jet pack for all of us?
Is that one jetpack for every single person or one giant jetpack that we all share?
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to imagine that.
I'm not sure about the semantics of your question.
Let's say one jetpack that we all just take turns using. How about that? Just to make things easier.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. How do you fly? Who would steer that thing is the question. Who do we let drive it? You know,
I'm not flying it first. Okay. I'll tell you that.
All right. That's fair enough. I wouldn't want you to either. Bill, of course, joining us as he does every Tuesday from his cool, awesome shop up there in the Pacific Northwest, where he makes cool stuff and runs the punishprops.com website, as well as the YouTube channel of much renown. And he's here this week to talk about whatever the heck he's making. Inspire us, Bill.
Yeah.
Well, It's gift-giving time, and I like to make gifts because I'm a maker.
Sure.
And in the past, both Brittany and I have made some cool stuff, got some cool things, and I wanted to share some ideas, especially because, like, maybe you don't have enough time to order something, or maybe you're strapped for cash, and here's some ideas for things you can make. Nice. First off, starting with what you should be going for. If you're going to make something for someone as a gift, it should be high quality. You want to aim for heirloom quality, right? The sort of thing that they're going to keep forever, hopefully, mm-hmm. or for a very long time.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully not just throw something together at the last minute. It's going to fall apart by New Year's.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then also, you know, it should be meaningful, right? Like, if you're going to make something for someone, I could make someone something that has nothing to do with me or us, and it wouldn't be as meaningful. So sure. Here's some great ideas with some really fun examples. The first thing you can do is to repurpose something and turn it into something new that's really cool and meaningful. So, for example, a couple of years ago, I told my dad that I needed some old sails. He has several sailboats that he races. He has lots of old sails. And in, like, July, I said, hey, Dad, I need some sailcloth for a project. Could you send me one of your old sails? And he did. And then for Christmas, I cut that sail apart and turned it into a bag. I purchased a pattern from Adam Savage's website for a really cool bag. So I made my dad a bag, a really nice bag, out of his old sails, which was really cool. Nice. Another good example, Britt. Her family has this old farm, and every once in a while we go through it and get old cool stuff. Well, she found some sleigh bells, some really old, really legit sleigh bells that were on the leather straps that you would use to attach it to a horse.
The leather straps open sleigh.
Yeah. That's right. the leather had deteriorated, so she rescued the bells, and she is cleaning up the bells, polishing them, and then she's going to make these strips of bells that you would hang from your front door.
Cool. So, right.
That's cool.
And she had enough bells to make a bunch of them, so she's making some for her family.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Something else neat about their barn, they had a couple of barns on there. It's an old dairy farm. And one of the barns eventually, it wasn't used for a long time. Eventually, it was falling apart, so they tore it down, but they kept a lot of the wood. And the family has been using that wood to make all sorts of neat things. So, to have something made from the wood from Grandpa's old barn is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that would be really cool. See, this is the whole, our whole vibe this year has been anybody can buy anything for everybody. Like, you can go,
yeah, right?
You know, we can just keep buying and keep buying if that's the way we want to do stuff. But there's probably better things to do. We ended up doing a thing. Well, actually, you both got this in the mail, but we decided to try our hand at smoking stuff, like meats and other junk. And we smoked a big, huge batch of salt. Huge pain in the ass. Took 12 hours or something of just kind of watching it and raking it and making sure it's going, you know, it's not too smoky, not smoky enough, all mm-hmm. that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then bottling it up and doing this thing because we just thought, yeah, we can buy, but why don't we instead buy containers and cool little labels mm-hmm. and then all that. And then we'll make the thing and put it in there. The hard part is just being creative enough sometimes to think of something cool.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
And the idea of like, hey, we're tearing down that barn. There's a ton of history there. You're all getting a piece of Grandpa in a really cool way. I think that's mm-hmm. that's rad.
Yeah, like, my mom did a thing where she made a pillow from one of Tina's dad's old shirts, one that he used to wear all the time. Wow. And now that pillow kind of sits on my grandmother's couch, and it's like a little piece of him that's always there.
That's right. I mean,
love that.
Another cool thing to repurpose, like you said, the clothing. Britka has a quilt that her mom made from all of her old t-shirts from high school. Mm. You know, stuff you're not going to wear anymore, but stuff you can't get yourself to throw away.
Yeah.
You could turn it into something significant or meaningful.
That's really cool.
Some more fun ideas if you're a photographer like me or if you're a painter. You could get your pieces printed in some way, although I will say it's too late now to get them ordered online. I tried yesterday and they're not going to get here in time. But you can get photos printed on canvas or on metal, and they both look wicked cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like almost like a lithograph kind of thing.
Exactly. Metal, yeah. And it feels a little more special than just getting a print, right? A piece of paper.
Right.
The canvas ones I especially like. They kind of stick out from the wall a little bit. You can get them so that the image wraps around the edge. They look really clean.
Mm-hmm.
I've done several of those.
Yeah, you can get them at, I've had some done before, just of all places, Costco. They do a really good wraparound canvas thing.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I might have to see if they can do mine in time. Because I was looking online, it's too late. So, yeah, locally, if there's a place that does them locally, you can check that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. Christmas at Costco, if you're trying to get prints or cards or that stuff made, you may as well end your thinking right now. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Too gonna late. Have to glue some together some old mean macaroni, pieces of wood for my mom.
Right, yeah, macaroni to a paper plate is kind of where you're at this point.
Yeah.
Something else really fun is you could take an old family heirloom, let's say, and restore or repair it. So, for example, we've been restoring old tools from Britt's family farm. Mm-hmm. And they're still useful.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are like 100 years old. And they still work. They just need a little love.
They made that stuff to last, man. It might get a little rusty or whatever, but you know, construction wise, that stuff's a lot better than what you're going to buy today.
Could be, So yeah, look for opportunities to do that, or like I said, repair something. So let's say your family has an old clock that's just been sitting there, doesn't work. You could figure out how to fix it.
Yeah.
I think that would be pretty special. Yes. Something else cool. That was a really, really neat idea. If they have something they love, like a book, like a favorite book, you could bind the book in a decorative leather cover.
Oh, nice.
A friend of mine had this done with a book. It was Tobin's Spirit Guide, the fictional book from...
Beetlejuice?
Maybe it's in Beetlejuice, too, but it's in Ghostbusters.
Oh, Ghostbusters. That's right, yeah.
You can buy the real book. They've made it, but then they went a step further and had the cover rebound in leather, and it looks so cool.
That's right. It was your guide to the afterlife was the book about Beetlejuice. Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, like if especially if someone has a favorite book, that binding it in leather is something you can totally do yourself.
Very cool.
And it would make it really special. Like, how would you love to have a bound set of leather Lord of the Rings books or something like that?
Oh yeah,
that'd be awesome. And then the last thing I have on my list here is just like bake some cookies. Everyone loves getting cookies. And it'd be even more special coming from you.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I mean, normally you don't want me making anything, but I think I could I could do cookies.
Hey, you can do salt, Scott.
That's I can do salt. That's right. Salt. Yeah. Not without help, but yes, I can do salt. The real hero of all that was Dylan because he's had some experience with it and he helped us sort of walk through it. But
yeah. Well, the meaningful thing, though, is every time I pinch a piece of smoked salt for my food, I'm going to think of my friends.
Yeah, see?
And that's the real point.
Isn't that the point? And knowing is half the battle. I can't think of any other PSA endings to add to that, but that was very
good. The other half is red and blue lasers.
That's right. You know what you kind of did? So last week, Thursday, Wendy told this story about her boy, Peter, made her a gift. And it was literally a piece of wood with old parts from a broken Xbox controller arranged. So circuit boards and little plastic bits and all this other stuff arranged in the letters that say, I love you on there. Oh. Or I love you, Mom. And then that's all it was. And she loves that. Like,
right.
It's a little kid. So obviously there's a little bit of that going on. But sometimes, you know, people don't want like the most shiny, most expensive thing. Sometimes they just want like a really human sort of thing. And I think that's what these ideas are. So I love it.
Yeah.
This is great. And also if you guys are last minute, you might still be able to work something out. Whereas, you know, they might be all out of the dumb toy you want at the store, but you can still make things.
Yeah. You can do it a lot faster or personally and don't have to wait for Amazon to get more of it in stock.
Yep.
Yep. Like you just have to sneak over to your parents' house, tear off part of the house,
yep,
and then turn that into something special.
That's right. Now we have a bylaw here for the segment that you do, and that is that you provide us with a little bonus link before you go. What do you got?
I do have a good link. This is fun. This is a YouTube channel I just found called TM Zenatan Woodworking. Z-H-E-N-A-T-A-N.
Oh wow!
He makes tiny little whiskey barrels, just pint-sized whiskey barrels. It just shows his process, and I think it's adorable.
I love stuff like that. Like, he's just a little tiny little channel, too. This is just a guy who's like, hey, guess what I make? Oh, they're
whiskey
they make
barrel the size of an apple. This is awesome.
Oh, yeah. These are cool. And the process is the same as how you do these for a big one, right?
Yeah, pretty much,
What's a barrel maker called? Fletcher? No, that's an arrow.
Cooper.
It is a Cooper, isn't it?
Cooper? Oh, I love that. Yeah. And he smokes the inside?
Yeah.
These are rad.
Right?
I want one.
Everything's way cooler when it's way smaller. It's way more fun.
Oh, Bill, you can keep your weed in it.
That's right. That'd be a lot of weed.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of weed. Wow. All right, well, there you have
That's what I like. I like to have a pint of weed for Christmas.
A pint of weed.
His last name is Z-H-E-N-A-T-A-N. So it's Tim, that name, woodworking. And
it's pronounced that name.
That thing I just spelled. And good luck finding that. It's on YouTube. But of course, punishprops.com and the Punish Props YouTube channel up there and raging with new content. So go check it out. Bill, have a great time. We'll see you next week for.
All right.
Well, will that be the last before? No, before Christmas it will be, but not before the new year.
Yeah, not the last one of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So prepare accordingly, okay?
All right. I will.
See you later. Bye now. That means nothing. He doesn't have to do anything.
No, he doesn't have to. He just has to prepare some making is all he has to prepare.
Yep. All right. We got to get Mr. Pilot Man on the phone.
Yes. Aviator Bobby.
Yeah. Mr. Fly, land, fly again. Mr. Expert
Boy. Yeah, I thought I said that. A Fletcher makes arrows. When I was trying to remember the name, I was no, let's see. Fletcher? No, that's makes
arrows. Yeah, you said Fletcher, that's arrows. You said. Yeah. Oh, and intros for this podcast. You forgot about that part of the Fletcher.
Fletcher also makes intros.
That's right. He doesn't make this, though. This guy does.
Science.
Well, he doesn't make science, but he sure talks about it. It's all-around science's own Bobby Frankenberger joining us as he does each and every Tuesday to talk about some science or another. Bobby, welcome back to the show.
Hi, I thought a Fletcher was a podcast segment critic.
That's more of his...
Shitoutofluck.com.
It's more of a Christine thing, I guess, but we love her hot take.
Shitoutofluck.com.
Everyone would ever go to that domain. Did we determine if that was real? Let's see. of luck.com.
I don't know if we ever checked that one to see if it was actually available.
It says not secure and then a white screen. So there you go.
I got that it's for sale.
Oh, you did? I got none of that. Brave may block some of that, I guess. I don't know.
It could be, yeah.
Well, I guess I'm shitoutofluck.com now on getting that domain. Bobby, welcome back. What's burning a hole in your little science mind? Oh, I got to read you a thing first. Can I read you a thing?
Yes, of course you can.
Okay, so I did tip you off on this earlier, but just so you'd be prepared. But we got a text from a listener. This is from an anonymous listener who says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, regarding the text from episode 2373, where the listener said he wanted to craft with allegedly fake super metals." And we had the whole titanium discussion and all that stuff.
Right.
Says, I wanted to point out that the, and I know I'm not going to say this, but orichalcum? Orichalcum?
Orichalcum.
Orichalcum. Was a real metal. It's believed to be an ancient name for either bronze, platinum, or brass. So you can craft things with orichalcum.
Orichalcum.
Though it may not be as strong as games make it seem. I'm not sure what he means by games, but maybe video games. I don't remember where that came from. But anyway, so any additional thoughts on orichalcum and it being real?
I didn't know it was real. I did look very quickly at this. I think it was a gold and copper alloy or something like that.
Mm.
And it wasn't very great. it might have looked really nice.
It feels like that would be soft because... Gold is a softer metal, so
that's
so
true.
Is copper. Copper's pretty soft.
Yeah,
also.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is in a lot of games. I know it's in Shadowrun, for example.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's
that's
big
right.
in Shadowrun. It's a magical metal.
Do you think there's still? I don't know why this question comes up sometimes, but when people talk about metals and rare earth metals and this sort of thing, I always have this question in my head: Are there any metals yet undiscovered naturally on this planet? And I know there's weird shit floating in it, asteroids and, you know, chunks of other moons and planets and junk that perhaps one day may hit here in asteroid form or something. But and bring those metals with them. But are there anything we haven't found?
It's tough to say. I would say, you know, you can never know for sure, because if we haven't discovered it, we haven't discovered it, right?
Right.
But we do know a lot about physics and chemistry and whether it would likely be possible. And I would say that it's very unlikely, because where would it fit on the periodic table? The way that those elements are all, like, if you're just talking about a pure elemental metal, then I would say basically no, because we know what is possible based on how physics and chemistry works. Now, an alloy of a combination of metals we could make theoretically, because you just combine metals together and figure out a way to get them to stick. But as far as elemental metal goes, I doubt we're going to find anything new.
So if I was able to get a little aluminum and gold to hang out with each other, could I make a new metal and say, hey, I'd like to make an announcement. This is called
Frogpantium.
Frogpantium. That's good. I like that, actually. Let's say Frogpantium. Yeah, can I do that? And will it be recognized by my peers and those in the science community and that sort of thing? Or am I screwed?
I have no idea.
I think the fact that it's an alloy means that it's not really a new discovery. It's just
it's just putting stuff together. I think gold and aluminum, I just looked it up. It's I think it's been done. I don't know. I'd have to read this entire Wikipedia article.
They've probably tried everything, right? All things have been tried.
I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, at this stage of the game, it's
like we were the first time they had a self-serve drink machine at the Burger King, and we went up there and said, all right, what does Coke and Sprite taste like? Ooh, I've invented a new drink. What does Coke and Dr. Pepper taste like? Ooh, a new drink.
Yeah, man. I love swamp water. It's my favorite thing to do at a drink thing, or it used to be. We call it that. Yeah. We'd do it. Go to the 7-Eleven and just hope for the best. Anyway.
I can't remember what they called it when I was growing up.
We called it kamikazes here.
Yes,
kamikaze is pretty good.
Yeah,
I like that. Oh, sorry. I just heard a sound. What was that?
Then I found out that kamikaze is a real drink, and I like those a lot better.
Oh, okay. Well, there you have it then. Well, Bobby, all that aside, you probably brought some real science with you for this segment today. What do you got?
Well, you guys have been talking about something that that I thought would be interesting to talk about. You've been getting emails and talking about toilets flushing and the Coriolis effect, right?
Sure, right.
We have. We talked only about toilets, but there's apparently a lot more to this, right, than just toilets.
There is. And the Coriolis effect is responsible for a lot of things, and you hear about it a lot in weather, which is something I've been studying a lot of because of flying, and also in rocketry, the Coriolis effect is used. So I thought it would be interesting to talk about the Coriolis effect and why this whole toilet flushing in different directions things is total nonsense.
All right.
Well, you mentioned that it affects rockets too, which surprised me because. You know, it feels like it's only has an effect on things that are on the hemisphere. And once a rocket leaves the atmosphere,
first of all, not all rockets leave the atmosphere.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah. That's true.
Second of all, while the rocket is leaving the atmosphere, it is in the atmosphere first.
It's still being affected by
that
hemisphere's atmospheric.
So why don't we just talk about what the Coriolis
let's do that
is.
Let's start with with A.
That's right.
So the Coriolis effect is the result of what's called the Coriolis force, and it's a really weird thing. Physics is weird. It's called a fictitious force or a pseudo force. It's not a real force. A fictitious force is something that you observe by being observing something in an inertial frame from a non-inertial frame, all these kinds of weird things about accelerating bodies and where, you know, Einstein made things complicated by talking about relativity, and now we have to think about it all the time.
Right.
But the easy way to think about it is when you're talking about the Coriolis force, it's basically when you're looking at something that's moving in a rotational frame, something that's rotating. When something moves inside of it, you will often observe or even feel a force that isn't really actually there. It only exists because the place from which you are observing it from is moving.
Relative stuff. Okay. So like when you do the centripetal force thing with a tire or like a bike tire or bike wheel and you move it and you feel that pull or whatever, is that like that?
No, so that's actually that's a gyroscopic precession that you're talking about. That's a whole nother thing. Okay. That's a real
centrifugal force.
Centrifugal
force, I think of as like the bucket of water on a string, and you spin it around, and the water stays in the bucket.
Yeah, and then that's even more complicated because there's centrifugal and centripetal forces.
Centripetal force, yeah, right.
And I can't remember. I always get those confused.
I want to say centripetal pushes in and centrifugal pushes out.
Yeah, there's centrifugal. I think you're right. Centrifugal force pushes outward, and centripetal force is just the opposite force.
Gotcha.
Because every force has an equal and opposite force, right?
Right.
It's hard to keep track of which is which because it's like stalactites and stalagmites. You got to come up with
exactly.
Like
they named them things. They're coming up with these names, and they're like, you know what? They're equal and opposite. Let's give them similar names. That'll make it easier.
Sure.
Remember.
Sure.
Right. At least stalagmites and stalagmites are easy to remember because it hangs tight to the ceiling. Stalactite.
Oh, see, that's what I never had a good mnemonic device for that.
I remember it in an opposite way. Stalagmites are like a mite is a little insect that would crawl on the ground.
On the ground. See, either of those work. I feel dumb because I never even had that. I never had a good one.
The stalagmite looks like the things pointing up.
There you go.
It's kind of like Bactrian and dromedary camels, remembering two humps and one hump.
I like that.
Yeah. There you go.
Anyway.
So an example. So an example of like a Coriolis force or a Coriolis effect might be. Imagine you've got two people who are running and they're throwing a ball back and forth between each other. Let's say you're running along a football field and you're passing a ball back and forth to each other. Yeah. Wouldn't be too tough. You're just passing it back and forth, right? But imagine instead that while you're running, you're both running in a circle around each other. So you're like you're both running in a circle opposite each other around a central point. Yeah. If you try to pass the ball back and forth to each other, from each of your perspective, the ball is going to look like it's veering off to the right if you're running counterclockwise. And so that's sort of like a pseudo force or a fictitious, like it appears to be having a force acting on it, right?
Right.
Now, the way this works on the Earth is a little bit, so it's hard to talk about this because it's a little bit hard to visualize. You've got a lot of things to think about. So I'm going to do my best here.
Paint us a mental picture, will you?
Yeah, so imagine that you're standing on the equator of the Earth.
All right? I'm there. I'm in my head, I'm there. Let's do it.
Yeah, and you're going to shoot a bullet or launch a rocket to the North Pole.
Sweet, okay? Let's take care of those bastards once and for all. Oh, this isn't a... Okay. All right.
Finally shut those elves up.
Yeah, shut up those bastards.
It's Christmas time, and you're a villain. you're throwing it straight north. All right.
Okay, yep.
So now, as soon as that bullet or rocket launches, one thing you got to remember is that the Earth is spinning underneath it. Right.
Right.
As soon as it leaves the ground, the Earth is spinning underneath it. So one thing you might expect to see is that that when it starts to move to the north, you might expect it to look like it's traveling to the left, because you're facing north, so it looks like it's traveling to the west because you're moving to the right underneath it, right?
You're right, yes.
But that is not what happens, and this is where it's strange. It actually, you're moving to the right underneath it, sure, but you will observe that the rocket, as it moves to the north, appears to veer off to the right.
So is it because it's being launched from a thing that is also moving to the right, and therefore it's taking it with it, kind of thing?
Man, or look at the brain on Brian. Yeah,
I know, right? That stuff's coming out of your ears. Amazing.
Yeah. That's half of exactly what's going on. So one thing we have to remember is, yes, the Earth is, as much as we feel like it's stationary, the Earth is spinning.
Mm-hmm.
So when anything like a rocket launches off the Earth, and that's why I chose the equator very specifically, is because the equator is the farthest point from the axis of the Earth where it's spinning, the axis of rotation, right? So anything that leaves the Earth will not just be moving to the north like we want it to, it will also have that rotational velocity. It'll also have that velocity moving it to the east as well. So it will be moving north and to the east at the velocity of the point from where it left. So if it left the equator, that the equator has the most rotational velocity of any place on Earth because it's so far away from the axis, right?
The furthest point, yeah.
Yeah, the closer you get to the North Pole, the slower you're moving around the axis. And that can be easy. It's easy to think about that if you just imagine yourself taking a being at the North Pole and taking a couple steps back and just like thinking about how fast are you moving around the North Pole. It's still taking you a whole day to go around the North Pole, but you're right there next to it. So you're moving very slowly in that rotational way.
Mm-hmm.
But at the equator, it takes a whole day to move entirely around the Earth. So you're moving much faster. So if you launch that rocket from the equator, it's got that same velocity that it had to the easterly direction when you launched it to the north. Now, here's the key. As it moves to the north, the ground underneath the rocket is moving in that same direction, but slower and slower the further north it goes. But the rocket, as it moves north, still has the same eastern velocity that it had when it left the ground.
From the place that it left, right? Yeah.
Right. So it will, even though it's still really technically going in a straight line with the same velocity, it will appear to be moving to the right from anybody that's on the ground because they're moving slower to the right than the rocket was when it left the equator.
And the further it goes north, the more it's going to appear to veer to the right because of the difference in
how they're moving. Exactly. So much so that it might actually start to really go very far to the right. And anyway, that's what you get is that effect. This we see also affects weather systems because air is a thing that's moving above the Earth, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is also why hurricanes spin in the direction that they do. It's being moved. So a hurricane has a really low pressure center, so it's like sucking all the air into the eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if the air is being sucked from the south of the eye to the north, it moves in a particular direction as it's moving because it veers off to the right, whereas if it comes from the north, it does the opposite because it's moving slower at the northern latitudes than the ground is underneath it from above. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That has the effect of causing the whole storm to spin.
Right. I always wondered why they all look like that, right? You see the weather patterns. You're like, oh, there's a weird thing forming off the coast of Florida. We're going to call it Hank, and it's going to hit landfall. Blah, 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 and it's always going like that. Right.
Yeah. Now, I hear people in the chat saying like that it's clear as mud. It's very hard. It's so much easier if you look at a picture. But just know that the reason all this happens again is just because the Earth is moving relatively slower at different latitudes, and whatnot. So, and that also has the opposite effect in the southern hemisphere. So you might be wondering if it does, because you know. Hurricanes, quote unquote, in the southern hemisphere do spin in the opposite direction. So you might be wondering, Bobby, didn't you say that the toilet thing was BS?
You did say that. I remember you said that.
So how can I say that when I just said this about the storms? the reason is because you see these effects on large scales, and it's not happening on a small scale like that. I actually, to make sure that I wasn't just going to tell you something that isn't technically true, I went and tested this morning in my sink. And the reason you see spinning in a sink as it drains or a toilet has a lot more to do with the water motion. Some people will say that it has to do with like imperfections in the bowl of
some people, meaning me, that was one of the reasons I said that one of the things that could affect it. Like if you have a,
and
a weird shaped bowl, it could affect the direction things go.
Yeah, and so you, that probably would have more of an effect than the Coriolis effect. You're right about that.
For sure.
But actually, most of what's determining the spin of either a toilet flushing or a sink draining is microcurrents in the water that already existed. When you turn on the water in the sink, for example, to fill it up, the water is not just plopping down in the sink and then not moving. The water hits the sink and then starts moving, right? And so the location of the spout in the sink will determine how the collectively on a large scale all that water is in motion. And so
and you can even like, you know, you can fake it by going to suggest you stick your hand in the toilet. But if you do this with a sink, you have a full sink and you pull the drain, you can spin your hand one way or the other and make the water start moving, and you can control what direction it goes down the drain.
You're a greater force than whatever the reasons it was spinning the other way.
Even if, so this is the cool thing, even if, because you're right about that, but even if you fill the sink with water, and this is what I tested earlier this morning, even if you fill the sink with water and let it stay until it looks like it's not moving anymore, like I filled up the sink and let it stay for like 5 or 7 minutes and it wasn't moving anymore, and then you drain it, it'll still always drain in sort of the same way, because if your bathroom sink, you know, the faucet doesn't move in like a typical bathroom sink, so it's usually the forces that it starts with are going to be the same no matter what. But it's because there are very small motions still happening that were imparted in into that body of water when you put it in there. And as the water collectively moves toward that small drain hole, those collective motions get amplified because it's all concentrated into that small hole. And so I tested that. I did it multiple times. I dropped a drop of food coloring.
Food coloring,
to see how it was moving. And it every time it rotated in the same direction, and I could alter that by pouring a jug of water on the other side of the sink in the other direction and filling it that way, and then letting it come to rest, quote unquote, after about 5 or 10 minutes, and then drain, and it would go in the opposite direction, and I could reliably do that every time.
Even letting it sit after a long time after you poured that jug of water, you still does
because
little
that
micro
water is
currents.
Still moving. You just can't see it. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Interesting. Well, I know I learned something today. And boy, howdy, next time I see a big swirly anything, I'm going to think about you. That's how it'll work.
That's my goal. I just want you to think about me when you're getting a swirly.
Like when I get a hot fudge sundae, which I haven't had in a long time. But if I did, and I see the guy putting the whipped cream on in a certain direction.
When you go to the soft serve machine, I love
ice
cream.
Queen, when Dairy Queen does that little twist. Do they do it the opposite way in Australia?
Oh, man. Now, see, what I'm going to do is, regardless of what direction, I'm going to run over there and put my finger in it, make it go the other way, and say, look, I can control. I have the power to make it change.
Perfect. Coriolis force be damned.
Yeah, take that, jerks. Well, anyway, I'm glad you brought this with you, and it's super fascinating. And everybody who was afraid we were going to talk about toilets for 20 minutes, you were wrong. You were wrong, okay? We talked about cool science, not toilets. Bobby, tell us more about where you talk and pontificate about science issues so people can find it and put it in their ear holes.
Well, I have a podcast called All Around Science that we talk about exciting stuff in science news all the time. I think very soon, either it wasn't yesterday, but maybe next week's episode, we might end up talking about this fusion energy breakthrough thing. Brian asked me about it on Discord. He said, are you going to talk about that? And I told him sort of like a grump. And I was like, no, because it's basically not even news. And then I looked it up and there's been updates. And apparently they have reached, it's been confirmed that they did cross that.
I was seeing that this morning. Yeah, and that's what made me ask about it. That fusion reaction that produced more energy than it took to create the reaction. So
it's still an incremental change, and it's maybe being overblown a little bit, but I do want to talk about that a little bit, because there's a lot of nuance there, and it is exciting. Mm-hmm. They did pass a threshold, and it's incremental advances that are hopefully going to eventually get us there.
Yeah. We are one step closer to having a Mr. Fusion built into the back of our DeLoreans that will power our trips to the future.
An incremental advance is still an advance.
Well, let me ask you this: if I drop a toothpick on the carpet. Didn't take much energy, just a little bit, right, to drop it.
Sure.
But then Kim walks over there and she kicks into it and it jams right into her foot. And then she yells and swears and stomps around. She's putting out way more energy than she's, it took.
That's right. That is creating more energy than the energy it took to drop that.
So I've done fusion. I've done cold fusion here at the house is what I'm saying.
You have fused solved a toothpick the energy with the carpet. Crisis.
Actually, fused a toothpick with Kim's foot is what you've done.
Oh, man, what a combo. Bobby, it's always good having you on, man. I hope people do listen to your show because it's good, not just because it's there, but because it's good. And we can't wait to have you on next time. We'll see you on a future episode, hopefully next week if you're around.
I will try to be here.
Bye now.
Bye.
Unless he goes to the zoo or to some kind of freaking flying lesson or some other BS. Never know with this guy. You know?
Exactly. Gosh, priorities, Bobby. Yeah. No, I'd never thought about, I just figured, hurricanes spin because they spin. But now we understand why hurricanes spin.
Yeah, I really didn't understand that until today. I meant to ask you this before we go today. Yeah. Did you, I know you bought it, but did you play Marvel Remix? It. Is it fun?
I haven't played it with Tina yet, but I've basically, I get a game and I know I'm going to need to explain it to people to like take it to Christmas and New Year's Eve parties.
Sure.
I do a solo game just to kind of figure it out. So I've played it, but just not with another living human being.
Ah, but you see the potential. You like what you're seeing.
I see the potential. It's great. It's funny. It's like, it's kind of it's kind of similar to Marvel Snap in the way that it's a quick game. You're only drawing, I think, 6 cards, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And then the big part is the scoring, although the game that it's based on or derived from has a much more complicated scoring mechanism. And we talked about that with Dan. They recommend you get an app to do the scoring for, was it Mythic? I think I've got, let's see. The original game that it's based on is doesn't say.
He did say though.
Fantasy Realms.
That's it.
Fantasy Realms. Yep. And that one's so complicated that you want an app to do the scoring for you. This one is so easy. The paper that's in there is just fine for scoring.
Okay.
So
nice. Well, when you
a
play
much easier,
more,
quick the, kind of game.
When you play more, I want to hear about it. It sounds like a
okay.
It's
okay.
It's one I want to get. It's like. Harder to get and a little pricier than your usual quick battle game, but it's worth it. So,
for sure. The second best Marvel card game I've played this year.
Nice. Nice. both of which you did solo, so that's cool.
That's right. Yes, exactly.
Play Retro is happening today at 3:30 Mountain Time. We are doing a little bit of a Christmas thing, me and Dunaway. We're going to talk about the Christmas games of the 70s through the late 90s that were specifically Christmas. These days you go play Fortnite and you have a Christmas event or World of Warcraft or whatever.
Yeah.
And you just are used to that. That's the way, and then it goes away and then you keep playing your game. That's not how it used to be. If you were going to have Christmas in your game, it was a Christmas game. That's the way it was. And that was a weird thing then. And we're going to celebrate that a little bit today on Play Retro. So if you want to get your retro video gaming fun on, check out that podcast today at 3:30 Mountain live here at frogpants.tv or get it wherever you get your podcasts. In the meantime, we'd love it if you would support our show at patreon.com/TMS. You'll never get an ad. You'll get pre-show content every day. You'll get cool couch party stuff on the weekend, art in the mail, and other great monthly benefits that only you can get by signing up at patreon.com/TMS. That's going to do it for us today. I think we probably should leave, but to do that, we're required by state law, both Colorado and Utah state law, that we have to play a song.
True.
So, Brian?
It's one place where our states agree. Corey B. from Australia wrote in and said, "Hey, Screech and Boom. Sorry if this request is too late. Any day in December is fine. It is my sister Brooke's birthday this week, and I wanted to request a cover from her favorite band, The Wombats. We just saw them live last Tuesday, and it was an amazing experience. Their cover of Running Up That Hill that they recorded for Triple J's Like a Virgin earlier this year was a great cover that gave it its own identity. If not that song, then any other Wombats cover is fine with me, or just any British indie rock cover will do. Happy birthday to you, Brooke. Love the show, though. Signed, Corey B."
Nice.
Nice. Well, happy birthday, Brooke, and great suggestion for this one. Yeah, this the Triple J guys have stopped doing CD releases every year that collect the best of Triple J's Like a Virgin, but now they're doing it. They're just releasing them as downloadable, purchasable singles, and it probably saves me money because there are some that I listen to and I'm like, oh, I'm never going to play that one on the show. But now I can kind of pick and choose and buy the ones that I need to buy so I can legally play them on the show. This is one of them. This is so good. Of course, a cover of the song by Kate Bush that everyone finally remembered thanks to Stranger Things this year. Here is Running Up That Hill by the Wombats.
Very nice. Real quick note, I guess during the show, the Spider-Verse 2 trailer dropped. So we got to check that out today.
Yeah, we'll check
very,
that out
very exciting, speaking of Marvel. Anyway, that'll do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, short week this week, no Thursday show, but we are here tomorrow. And then Brian goes to Vermont to see a dead body up there. I wouldn't go up there if I were you.
Wouldn't go there if I were you.
So that's all coming up. Thanks for being here. We'll see you soon. Show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You're such a dildo.